Good morning. Glad that you're here this morning. We've had a wonderful summer so far. Thank you. Wonderful summer so far. We've been able to have lots of fun. In fact, we're able to play outside. We started our softball season. Our team was almost overwhelmed. The score was 10-24. And our team was not winning. When it comes to that point in time where your team is not winning and you're being beaten by 14 points, you don't have a lot of options. You're thinking to yourself, okay, what do we need to do in order to win? Well, you decide that maybe you're not going to win. We stuck it out, though. And we ended the game deciding to quit at 24-24. So when you're overwhelmed, you have to keep in mind, miracles still happen when you drug the other team's drink. No, we didn't do that. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 102, as we look at being overwhelmed. You're probably not dealing with being overwhelmed by a softball game, but there's other things in your life that can bring great overwhelming issues. You can think about maybe at work. Yeah, there's times at work you can just be overwhelmed. In retail, it's the time when it's Christmas season or you're doing inventory. Maybe it's a time when you have to get taxes together. Maybe it's other times where there's bigwigs coming and you have to get everything perfect. And so you're being overwhelmed by the customers or by your boss or by the pressure of so much work that you have to do. Maybe you go home and you look as you pull in and you're just overwhelmed at all the work that you really should do at the house, inside the house, outside the house. You've got just so much to do and so little time. You might be looking there or getting home and get inside the door and you are all of a sudden overwhelmed by the children. They're screaming and fighting. There's crying. Somebody wants this. Somebody needs that. And so you're just overwhelmed with the responsibility as a parent. Maybe you're beyond that. Maybe there's other things that are overwhelming you. Maybe you're looking at your finances and you're saying, wow, this is overwhelming. Maybe you are getting news from your family or from a doctor, and it's overwhelming. Sometimes in life, there's so much happening that you're overwhelmed. And what do you do? What do you do? One of the things I really appreciate about the book of Psalms, it's a very emotional book. We see in the Old Testament and New Testament emotional events, some emotions that are happening, but much of it has to deal with historical events or commands of Scripture. But in the Psalms, there's a pause. There's a stop, a pondering. What do you do in Psalm 100, verse 2, when you're overwhelmed? In Psalm 102, it says in the caption, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. As we look at the text here, we find that we don't know who the author is. It's not David. This is a time with the Babylonian captivity. The Babylon has come in and the enemies of Israel, they've come in and taken them captive. There's some thought maybe this is Daniel who lived at that time, or Jeremiah towards the beginning of it, but the wording perhaps maybe towards the end of the captivity. For in there's great hope of the soon recovery. We are dating it between somewhere between 530 or 586 and about 536. That's when the captivity, the destruction, you go from the last infiltration of Babylon and the destruction of the temple to the command of Cyrus to release the Israelites back to their own land. And if you use those numbers, you can figure that's probably around that time that this is occurring. Some you might go a little later because it's occurring before the walls are rebuilt. Here we find that the individual is absolutely overwhelmed. Pay close attention as you hear what he says. In verse 1, "Hear my Lord, or hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily." So he's calling out and asking God for help. Why is he doing that? Well, let's look at verse 3. "For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like in a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like the grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican." The word there is translated as about four or five different birds. The newer translations prefer the desert owl. "I am like the bird of the wilderness. I'm like the owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long, and those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten like ashes. I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass." As you listen to that, you hear the overwhelming circumstances of the writer. And those overwhelming circumstances that he has includes overwhelming feelings. Did you capture those feelings? The feelings of being even physically sick, depressed, alone, abandonment, helplessness, mourning, certainly without joy. And he's desperate for relief. You ever felt those things when you're overwhelmed? Look again. He describes this, "My days are consumed like smoke." My days they're short. And they're short because of the fierce pain, not physical, but emotional pain that he feels. "And my bones are burned like a hearth." He has in mind maybe that my life's going to end soon at this rate. Have you ever had such emotional feelings that your body aches? "My heart is stricken, withered like grass." Where's his courage? He has none. He has no hope. He's just absolutely, completely defeated. "So I've forgotten to eat my bread." He's not even eating. He's so miserable, emotionally, perhaps spiritually, that he just has no hope whatsoever. You've had those days. Sometimes it's just some news that for a little while, it just seems just too much for you to be able to take. Maybe it's been more than just a little bit of time, like a few hours or a day or two. Maybe it's been an overwhelming feeling that you've had for some time. How can you deal with those things? He continues on and talks about how his groaning, his bones cling to his skin, and that he's like a person, a bird out in the wilderness, all alone. You've had those alone feelings. You don't have to be by yourself to feel like nobody understands, nobody knows what you're going through, perhaps nobody cares, or nobody can help you. You just feel so overwhelmed that maybe not realistically, but just as a passing thought, is the idea, what's the point in living? I'd like just to escape it all. Those are some hard feelings. And the truth is, I bet every one of you has had those at some point in time, whatever the occasion may have been. He says that he mourns because his enemies, he's overwhelmed by the enemies that he has. What kind of enemies does he have? Well, for the writer here, you understand that he is probably living in Babylon, and he's got the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, over him and persecuting him. In some respects, the Babylonians, they tried to bring some of the Jews into their culture and make them part of Babylonians, try to swallow up those people. But on the other hand, you have situations, a little different situation, but you have one in with Queen Esther. And there, the people, the Jews, are threatened with complete extinction. We don't face that so much, do we? We don't necessarily have death threats on our email or on our door. We don't have people driving by shooting at our house. So we don't necessarily have those kinds of enemies. But sometimes we might feel like we've got those kinds of enemies. Somebody at work, our neighbor, maybe sometimes, sadly, somebody in the old family. For the writer here, understand his perspective. He is from a people that fears God to some extent, being punished because of their going away from God. And the people that has come upon them are even more wicked than they themselves. In fact, and we find a book of Habakkuk asks a question about how God could use somebody more wicked to discipline God's people, who are very wicked, but not as wicked as those people. How could God do that? Their enemies that he felt that were above him were horrible. The enemies that you feel might be the circumstances of what's going on in your life that's causing you to feel that way. The overwhelming nature of work, or maybe you've got something going on at home. And in some sense of the word, they're like enemies attacking you. They're spiritual enemies. Satan is against you, and perhaps using these circumstances or the overwhelming feeling of these circumstances to attack you. Sometimes, even though it's not a physical enemy, it is, in a sense, an enemy when the results of our sin overwhelm us. The nature of sin is consequences. We make decisions, and there's always consequences to those decisions. If we make bad decisions, it could be the natural result of that decision that's overwhelming, or it could be the hand of God disciplining us that's overwhelming. You certainly have been overwhelmed among different times. And I promise you, I'm not God, but I know that in this world, you will be overwhelmed. You might be overwhelmed. You may be sitting there overwhelmed what's going on in your life. You may be this week getting some news that will just overwhelm you. Or your workload will multiply. Or maybe it'll be a few months down the line. What are you going to do? Do you see this poor man and his plight? He has come up short. There's no help, no complete frustration, nothing left. He's completely overwhelmed. So he does what any of us should do. He cries for help. We find in verse 1 again, hear my prayer, O Lord. and let my cry come to you. My plea, my begging. Lord, listen. Have you had those times when you were overwhelmed and you didn't feel like God heard you? Like he didn't care? This guy, he says, you've taken me and lifted me up and thrown me away. You went yesterday and you had something and you took the wrapper off of your snack, or you had a piece of paper that you're working on, and you crumpled it up and you threw it away. Why? You didn't care about that anymore. It was no value to you. He felt that way. And so when he comes before God, he says, hear my prayers, begging God to listen to him. He's begging God to listen to him. He says, don't hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. God can seem very elusive when we are feeling overwhelmed. We, a lot of times, unite our feelings with what's happening. And so we feel like God doesn't hear us. And so we then assume that he does not. We know better in our minds, but in our hearts we feel like he just isn't hearing us. Why? We don't see the answer coming. He's so overwhelmed that he's begging God to hear him. He says, incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. You ever ask God to answer you very quickly? God, I'd sure like it if you took care of this problem yesterday. We are very impatient people. But there's nothing wrong with asking God, please answer this quickly. This man was so overwhelmed. And he asked God, please, to help him. To answer his cry for help. It's a desperate plea for God's ear. And it's a desperate plea for a quick response. I want you to know, when you cry out to God, he does hear. Make sure your heart is right before him and know that he does hear. And at the same time, know that he does answer. He answers in the most perfect timing there is. In softball, if you have absolute perfect timing, you can send that ball anywhere you want it. You can send it over to left field or over to right field. I don't have that good a timing. I get so excited when I hit the ball. And if you're quick enough, which I happened to be yesterday at least once, so that way when they tag the bag, your foot hits it just before. And then you have to argue with the coach to let them know that you did it. I didn't argue too bad. If you have perfect timing, you can get there. And God has perfect timing. But we don't think so. We think that God is late all the time. Why? Because we want to hear it now. Listen, be patient. That may be part of what he's doing, is teaching you patience. Maybe there's so much going on in the world that's setting up for something terrific for you, that if God were to answer it now, you'd miss out on a greater blessing later. Remember, God has perfect timing. There's an overwhelming response of God, though. What I appreciate about the Psalms is, even though we see this poor soul in absolute distress, because he's overwhelmed with everything going on, that he comes to the point in verse 12, he says, but you, O Lord. An emphatic exchange. He says, this is the way I am, but this is how you are, God. You know, that's one way to deal with everything that's going on in your life. Is not so much in the aspect of pleading for God to deliver you, but to take a moment and say, wait a minute, even though this is happening, what do I know about God? Whatever I'm going through, I know that he is quite different. He says, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever. While on one hand, in verse 11, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. When the sun sets, what happens to your shadow? It gets longer. This guy says, look, I'm at the point of death, God. So you know, even if though I am going to die, you are forever. And what's interesting in this is that you may have the different wording there. The wording of enthronement. For the word endure there means to sit, to abide. God's still sitting on his throne. God continues to be sovereign. God, no matter what happens to us, God will remain God, an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-compassionate God. He says, O Lord, you shall endure forever. In the remembrance of your name to all generations, you shall arise and have mercy on Zion. For Zion is another name to use for Jerusalem. It's used primarily in the prophets, especially the book of Isaiah, and in the Psalms. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Now, God is going to restore Israel to its place. There comes a time when God will restore you. He'll restore the overwhelming things that are happening that you will have victory. That victory could be even to the point of death and being with him forever, the ultimate victory. But so often we have victories in our lives over the overwhelming things because of who God is. He says, yes, it is time for her. Yes, it is time, and the time has come for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all kings of the earth shall glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, and he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. He begins in verse 1, hear my prayer. And in verse 17, he says, he shall listen to the prayer of the destitute. Overwhelming response of God is that God has an attentive ear. He will indeed listen. When you are feeling all alone, that you've been abandoned by God, that there's no help, understand this. God is listening. What a beautiful thing to know the creator of the entire universe, who knows the number of every hair on your head, or in some cases arm, he has them numbered. Every single one. And if God so cares about the sparrows of the earth, how shall he not care about you? This same God hears. He knows what's happening. God knows that you're feeling overwhelmed. God knows the specifics of all those circumstances. And it's great to know that you, like this psalmist, can come and say, Lord, hear my cry, and have the confidence of God's attentive ear. Also of God's sovereign hand, back in verse 12, but you, O Lord, endure forever, and the remembrance of your name for all generations. You will rise and have mercy on Zion for the time of her favor. Yes, her time has come. Here we see that the writer understands God is still in control. You cannot and never will control your life or the things going on around you. There are some things you can control. You can control your temper, though it may be hard. You can control the way you react to certain things. You can control, am I going to be overwhelmed, or am I going to choose God's victory? You know that God's sovereign hand is there, and so you can rest in the fact that he is in control, that he does care, that he is going to take care of everything. We go on, and we can see it down as we continue. In verse 18, it says, this will be written for generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. What he's saying here is when Israel is restored, the following generations will praise God for it. Not only that, because God looked down from the height of the sanctuary, from the heaven God viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those appointed to death. God heard and saved to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, so all the people of Jerusalem would know God's great hand and his praise in Jerusalem. Verse 22, when the praises of people are gathered together, when the peoples are gathered together, and the kingdom serves the Lord, he weakens my strength in the way, and he shortens my days. I said, O Lord God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. He's giving the comparison, don't take my life at such a young age. But I know you will endure forever. Of old, from before, you have laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens by the work of your hands. Again, we see his sovereign hand at work. And he goes on, he says, they will perish before you, but you will endure. Yes, all of them will grow like an old garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Again, the eternality of God, God's eternal being. As he looks at his own circumstances and overwhelmed by them, he sees that God is listening. He understands that God is sovereign in his work. And he understands, he grasps the truth of God's eternal nature, so that it's not as if God could have helped me back in the Old Testament when he parted the Red Sea, when he caused the sun to stop, when he created the storm to destroy the Midianites. God could do that. He did that then. He's not just the God of the early New Testament who caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear. You wives wish that God would do that miracle in your husband's life, don't you? That he would be able to hear you. God did those miracles back then, but it's the same God today who, whether through a direct miracle by his hand or by the providential nature of him working within his created nature and laws, that he produces a result of your overwhelmingness being victory. He is the same one. He is the eternal God who can do that. And the end result, as we've looked already, but is so that way man would praise. Man's praising voice. We see that we can praise God because of what he's done for us. In verse 18, the generations to come will praise. We praise God for the things that he's done in the past, namely because of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. We continue in verse 21, it says, declare the name of the Lord in all of Jerusalem. In verse 22, the peoples that are gathered together to worship, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. When we read that, what should bring to your mind is the future. For there will be a day when Israel, when Jerusalem is the capital of the world, and all kingdoms will gather together to worship God. Whatever overwhelming nature that he is experiencing, he can look to the future and know that God, either in the near future or in the ultimate future, will be praised. And his work will be done. We go through and we can see how God is doing these things so that way the generations to come could know it. Now let me ask you this. When you're overwhelmed, what do you do? do you sit there and stay in verses 3 through 11? Do you consider how overwhelmed you are? How miserable life is? How maybe unfair it is? How you just don't have any breathing room? Or do you do something a little different? Do you acknowledge those feelings that you have? Do you acknowledge all the things going on? And then stop and praise God. Rely on Him. Trust Him. Trust Him for wisdom. For when you're overwhelmed, you can sit down and say, okay, what's overwhelming me? Maybe you need to prioritize because you got so much going on and say, okay, what's the really important things that I need to do? And then those are the things that you go after and just complete those one at a time, knowing that some things that, hey, maybe you should do isn't going to get done or not done right away. I've been cutting down a tree in my yard for quite some time, and it's still up. But it's low down on the priority list. Why? Because softball is much more fun. It's low down the priority list because there's other things that are being done. Some things we won't get to right away. So you feel overwhelmed, ask God for wisdom, knowing that He will give it to you. He hears your cry. And you can kind of organize what you're going to do that way. You can ask others for help. You not only go before God and say, God, I need help in this, but you can go to others, ask them, can you pray for me? Can you help me accomplish something? Maybe it's a situation where you're overwhelmed by a friend, it wouldn't be a friend necessarily, but by a coworker. They say, what should I do? And so you go and ask a friend. You talk to God first and then get some wisdom from Him and His Holy Spirit and also talk to somebody else. A lot of times when we feel overwhelmed, we feel like closing ourselves in, building up that wall or fence, and we don't want to talk to anybody about it. We just want to sit and stew. If you are going to live your life being overwhelmed and being in the mindset of verses 1 through 11, or 3 through 11, you will not overcome. But if you're willing to put your focus on God and cry out to Him as in verses 1 through 3, and acknowledge who He is and what He has done and what He will do in verses 12 through 28. You will be one, though even the circumstances of your life seem overwhelming. What will you do? You'll be able to praise God knowing He's going to give you the overcoming victory. It's not easy, but when you know that God is in control, He hears you, He's sovereign. He's there for you. You will praise Him because you know He will take care of the job. I invite you today to take whatever overwhelming feelings that you have and give them to God. I invite you today to prepare your heart for maybe right now you do not face those things. Even now, already have the game plan. When I am overwhelmed, I'll come here to Psalm 102 and see what He did. He praised God. He trusted God. He knew God heard him. He knew God would answer in His time. But the victory, the overcoming victory, is in God. You will never overcome your overwhelmingness on your own. You need God's help. You need the encouragement of friends. So I encourage you, look there now. Or be prepared to look there when that time comes. Father, I ask that You would help us each year see our own hearts before You. We thank You for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Though through sin we are overwhelmed by the judgment that would come, yet because of Your Son Jesus Christ, there is victory when we put our trust in Him. Father, I thank You for passages like this where we can know that whatever overwhelming circumstances that we're in, that You are much more overwhelming than that. You are a great and gracious God. Father, I ask that You would encourage hearts here today, that You would help them, that they may honor You And that, Father, our praise may go before you, whether things are going great or we're overwhelmed. I ask this in Jesus' name.